New York City Council votes in favor of City of Yes for Housing Opportunity, creating 80,000 new homes over the next 15 years and investing $5 billion towards critical infrastructure updates and housing. Includes Governor Hochul's $1 billion in new state commitments to support affordable housing. Everything is to support affordable housing. Well, now that the governor, the mayor, and city council speaker of New York have celebrated the passage of the most pro-housing proposal in New York City history, we wanted to reach out to a longtime friend of Living for the City, and we return to Crown Heights. We have Alicia Boyd, founder of The Movement to Protect the People, or MTOP. She's a pro se litigant, and she comes back to us here at WBAI. Alicia, thank you for being so patient with us and for joining us once again on the program.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for inviting me again.
Sure. Alicia, it's been a while since we've talked. There are many several issues, I should say many, but there, I'm sure there are many, but there are several issues that we want to talk with you about. You have been leading a campaign, and MTOP, I should say, for some years now. Let's start out with the passage of COI, the City of Yes, and how you see this at this particular juncture.
Well, the City of Yes Housing Text Amendment was really a deregulation of a lot of our zoning laws. Zoning laws basically control where things can be built, how high they can be built, and actually the way that it looks. And a lot of the regulations that, you know, kind of tie developers' hands, you know, like the way in which a building has to be set back, for example, or the space between buildings, or the amount of apartments that can be in a building, a lot of those rules and regulations have been lifted. And some of these rules have went back 100 years in which they were created for the protection of the public. But underneath, quote-unquote, the crisis that the city, you know, says that we are in, the housing crisis, they went and really did a massive amount of deregulation. And this is not about the creation of housing. This is just about allowing developers to be able to build and make more money, more profit from it, because they don't have to conform to a lot of the rules that currently are in place, but now no longer currently in place, that, you know, protect the public.
Now, what's going on as far as Atlantic Avenue refining? What's happening there? I know there are many issues.
The Atlantic Avenue was a proposal that had started out on a one block where it was a small manufacturing spot that the community board had wanted to develop to create quote-unquote affordable housing. This then went into the hands of Crystal Hudson, who was a very pro-developer. The real estate industry supports her, and she's received a lot of support from them, in which they then took this one block and then extended it on both sides into other the other district, neighboring districts, and they've just created this area where they're going to have a massive amount of development. Where they're going to allow a lot of sky rises to come in. The City of Yes housing proposal will not allow them to build any parking, so they will be able to build, you know, 15, 20, 25-story buildings, bring in hundreds and hundreds of residents and hundreds of cars and not have to, for example, provide any parking for these. So it is what we would call a district-wide rezoning, and it's going through the land use committee, the process, and it will be entered into law eventually within the next couple of months. So you're going to see a massive amount of development on Atlantic Avenue downtown, in this area around Washington Avenue, Vanderbilt, and those blocks.
Hmm. I used to live in that neighborhood at the beginning of the aughts, around 2001, so I know where you are talking about. And that is somewhat concerning. Now, moving, I guess, what is it, west or is it east? The Brooklyn the Brooklyn Botanic Garden Tower, where is that standing, and what are your concerns around that? Because that's how I really became really paying really close attention to what you were doing and what MTOP was saying. And there are a number of different issues and vantage points to look at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. What do you see? What are your concerns today?
Well, that was a development project, again, underneath Crystal Hudson and her district. She doesn't see any development project that, you know, is not good for the community. Mm. It was proposing, they had a proposal of 480 feet. We defeated that. We filed a lawsuit. It got defeated. And then they came back with a more modest one. Eventually, they have agreed to build three more stories underneath what it currently is allowed. So they're going from a seven-story building to a 10-story building. This, even though it's only three additional stories, you know, it will cause permanent damage to the playground that Crystal Huston didn't seem to think that it was a concern that children be able to have sunlight. In a playground, it's the only open playground that services Ebbets Field and Tivoli Towers and now these developments that are going up on Franklin. And it was really a political, you know, the developers wanted to prove that they could build along the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, that they had the political will and the political power to do so. And so they got an additional three stories. So what it says is that even though these development projects have been proven to cause harm to the community, to our green spaces, the real estate industry, you know, will, you know, flex its muscles to the point where they don't care. And our elected officials will just kind of give us, you know, words that they'll protect us and they'll protect our community, but at the end of the day, they go along with the real estate industry. And so this really just shows how we're in such a pro-development, pro-real estate era in our city. And the city of Yes is really showing that, you know, doing away with a lot of the powers that the city council person has and the community has and a lot of the protections, all underneath the guise that really the issue was just we need more housing, when in fact the issue is not in number of housing, it's the affordability of the existing housing. You know, and we're not getting that, right? As much as we get the developments, for example, in this case with the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, you know, they get an extra three stories and they're supposed to provide us with, you know, a few, you know, a dozen or so affordable housing units. Those housing units literally start at $140,000 for one person. That's the affordable category. Mm. And so it's way above, it's considered luxury in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The average medium income in my community is about $55,000. And so when you start with affordable housing that starts at $140,000, mm-hmm. you again are not addressing the true issue, which is affordability.
I'm speaking with Alicia Boyd, the founder of MTOP, the Movement to Protect the People. You've heard Alicia before on this radio station, on this radio program. And Alicia, I've had other organizations, as you know, on this program, and each of them have raised similar alarms, the changing character of the community and the, as you just outlined, the unaffordability of these new structures that will be going up, that people who have lived in and have created these communities over 10, 20, 25 years and more will be just pushed out. The refrain from the mayor and some of his allies has been the same. We need housing. We have to have housing. When I, the, and he says this to the reporters when he has the reporters open forums, that, well, when I'm out in the street, people come up to me every day and say, we need housing. I wonder myself, do they say we need housing, and do we need housing that we can afford to live in?
I think that most people that you meet would say, affordable for who, and that's the problem, is that it's not affordable to the average New Yorker. And so they're going to him, and they're not saying that we need housing, because we see housing, right? We see housing development.
A lot,
just look downtown,
yes.
And you see a massive amount of housing development that's happening in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got towers going up 90 stories.
That's right.
But the affordability of those apartments are out of reach to the average New Yorker. So the average New Yorker can't even afford that. And even though the mayor, unfortunately, and our elected officials of color, you know, basically have stated that they're trying to equalize things, they're trying to ensure that Black communities have more housing. In fact, the city of Yes actually penalizes Black communities. We have the largest amount of increase in housing development than any other community underneath the city of Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so where they're claiming that they're trying to push for more development in low-rise, you know, white, upper-middle-class communities, the city of Yes actually incentivizes more development in Black communities, where you'll find even more displacement, right? Because you are creating housing that is unaffordable to low, moderate-income residents. There was only one provision, despite all of these increases in a billable space and also increases in what developers can do, there was only really one concession where it was, you know, voluntary. It was a voluntary process where the developers, if they wish, can provide some affordable housing at 60% AMI, but it's voluntary.
Yes.
And we've seen those voluntary programs don't work. It has not been a voluntary program that has worked because they just choose not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they get all the other benefits of all this increase in housing ability and being able to, you know, do this and do that. They won't have to provide any housing, affordable housing, with those requirements. And so that's why so many people were against the city of Yes, because they said you truly are not providing housing that's affordable to the average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alicia, I want to pick up on that as we bring our conversation almost to a close. We're running out of time, but I want to ask you about that. Over the last maybe 4 months or so, we've seen community board after community board saying no, that they did not want that, but then it was passed on. How did that happen? Or what is your take on that? Some of the members of these community boards said no, voted no.
Well, over 75% of the community boards in New York City said no to the city of yes.
Mm-hmm.
But community boards are only advisory.
Right?
So they hold an advisory position. And what our elected officials do, for example, like our borough president, says, oh, you know, even though a majority of his community board said no, he says, oh, I'm just going to ignore their advice because they're basically homeowners or they are renters who are rent-stabilized renters. And so because for some reason they are on the community board and they are, you know, people who know more than the average New Yorker about what's going on, their voices were ignored because, you know, our elected officials want the support of the real estate industry and want, you know, favors. And so they'll just ignore the community board, which is what they did in this regard.
Mm.
In this case, they just ignore the community boards and say that they don't know what they're doing or they're, you know, are prejudiced because, you know, they have, you know, homes or they live in rent-stabilized apartments, and so they have some sense of security, and they don't really care about the average New Yorker or the residents in their community.
Mm.
And this is the argument that they run. The other thing that's coming up, which is new on the horizon, is Eric Adams is again forming a commission that will change the land use review process. And they want to empower the real estate industry even more and take away what little power that the community board has. They want to revise that. So look forward to that. That's about to happen. And I hope to be writing about it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be paying attention.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You answered it ahead of time, and that's just fine. What was going to be next? So we are definitely going to be looking for that, and we will definitely have you back because this doesn't stop just because this has been passed. There are other issues that we have to do. And one of the people that we lean on heavily is Alicia Boyd, founder of Movement to Protect the People, MTOC. Alicia, how can people get in touch? And if there's anything you'd like people to pay attention to beyond what you just told us, let us know.
Well, I think people really need to pay attention to the city charter revision that is about to happen. People need to get involved. People need to follow it because there's going to be a lot of propaganda about how, you know, we're in a housing crisis and, you know, we can't allow city council people to say no to rezoning applications, et cetera, et cetera. And people need to really understand how the little bit of power that we do have, which is basically pulpit power, is about to be taken away from us. And so please just follow this issue and make sure that you are listening to voices in this with the messaging. You can reach me at 718-703-3086. 718-703-3086. You can also go to my website, which is www.mtop, that's mtopp.org, and we'll be following the mayor's newest initiative. So you'll be able to get videos and email blasts and information about what's happening so that you can come out and voice your concern at the hearings that will be presented in every borough of New York City.
All right.
So please stay in tune.
That's right. Please stay in touch with MTOP, Movement to Protect the People. The change in the land use process, the city charter revision, there's a lot still going on, even with the change in administration. Federal administration coming up. There's a lot going on. We'll be following it as closely as we can. Alicia Boyd, thank you so much for being here today. Really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, you inviting me. And again, my number is 718-703-3086.
All right.
And have a wonderful holiday.
Yes.
Happy Kwanzaa, mm-hmm. Christmas, and Happy New Year. I hope to see you and hear from you next year.
Yes, absolutely. You certainly will. Thank you so much, Alicia. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, bye.
And thank you to all of you. That's right. Very, very well-timed, Alicia Boyd. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to you all. I think I'm going to do a music show, a Christmas music show next week on the 25th. So look forward to that. Some random music, nothing really esoteric. Some things you know, some things you may not know, some things that I've played in the past, and some things that may be new to you. So look forward to that. We thank you so much for tuning in. Do not forget that we are commercial free and listener sponsored radio. The only way we can bring on guests like Alicia Boyd and Movement to Protect the People is with you and your help and your financial support to the station. And guests like Odette Wilkins, President, General Counsel, and co-founder of Wired Broadband, Inc., focusing on safe telecommunications for the public. The way we can do this and bring you all of the other guests that we bring you week after week after week is with your help, your contribution to WBAI. It's real simple. It's 833-922-4692. 833-922-4692. There is something that is taking place in Mount Vernon. Yeah, Mount Vernon, New York. And I'm going to have some folks on to talk about this construction that is underway. It's separate and apart from what we were just talking about with Alicia Boyd, but I'm very excited to report about it, and I'll be telling you more about it. It is an affordable apartment complex in Mount Vernon, but I'll be telling you about that in the new year. We want to make sure all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed when we bring folks in, but I am excited about that. It's a huge effort underway, so we'll be talking about that in the coming weeks on Living for the City. I'm Michael G. Haskins. Thank you for tuning in. Remember to surround yourself with people who respect and treat you well. And never, never regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Happy holidays, everyone.